The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 27. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 13th, 2017, in Rosebel, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Itcha Dvesha Samutena. Itcha Dvesha Samutena. Dvandvamohena Bharata. Dvandvamohena Bharata. Sarabhutani Sammoham. Sarabhutani Sammoham. Sargeyanti Parantapa. Sargeyanti Parantapa. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Saran of Bharat, O Scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. This is all the living entities in this material world. This does not apply to the living entities in the spiritual world. You see, we were originally situated in the spiritual world, but we became envious of Krishna. Why he gets to be the Supreme? Why I can't be the Supreme? It's like the dog wants to be the center, you see. And if you threaten his sense of being the center, he starts barking, you see. It's a doggish mentality. Instead of appreciating Krishna's supremacy, his beauty, his power, his renunciation, his knowledge, his wealth, his fame, instead of relishing the great opportunity to associate with this person who is the source of all existence. We were thinking, why can't I be the Supreme? You see? So, Krishna, to satisfy us, gave us the illusion that we're the Supreme. He gave us a world where we can think, yes, I am the Supreme. And we see, even a little child has this mentality, you see. He's playing in his room with his toys, and the next door neighbor, he comes to play, and the next door neighbor boy looks at his toys and he goes, mine! Immediately wants to establish, I am the proprietor. But how can we claim proprietorship? What do you bring when you come into this world? Do you bring anything with you? And what do you take when you leave? Do you take anything with you? We come naked and we go naked. We come with nothing and we leave with nothing. But then we claim, mine, you see. It's like in America, they say, where is your passport? This is American land. Where is your American passport? You see, or here in Mauritius. They gave us so much trouble when we arrived, you see. Who are you staying with? What is their name? What is their address? They're very heavy with us. Who are you? Who do you think you are coming to our country? It was that kind of a mood, you know. A little subtle, but actually that was the mood. It wasn't like welcoming. Welcome to Mauritius. No. Who are you staying with? What is your address? What is their name? Like that. It's like woof, 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 barking dogs, you know. This is our land. Who are you anyway? You're not a Mauritian. Who do you think you are anyway, you know? Some American. We weren't welcomed here at all. You see, because of the false sense of proprietorship. So we are contaminated with this false sense of proprietorship. That is the difficulty, you see. But our actual position is near Mama, nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. I cannot claim proprietorship over anything. That is the actual position. So instead of claiming this false proprietorship, it's time we become a little sober and realize, I don't own this place. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam ritshtati. Krishna explains in chapter 5, one who knows me is the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, and the best friend of all living entities, suhridam sarvabhutanam. He can have peace of mind. This is the peace formula. If the world leaders would simply accept this formula, that there is a person who owns everything, everything is meant for his enjoyment, and he is a well-wishing friend of all living entities. If the leaders would just accept this, we could have world peace. Right now, there's a threat of nuclear war. North Korea has developed a powerful missiles that can go anywhere in the world, and nuclear weapons and go anywhere and blow up a whole city. And they're threatening to attack the U.S. with their nuclear weapons, you see. So at any minute, a nuclear war can break out on this planet. That's how bad it is right now. At any minute, a nuclear war can break out. And China is an ally of North Korea. They could side with North Korea and be a huge holocaust. Hundreds of cities could be blown up with nuclear... all hell can break loose at any time on this planet. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is a very, very important thing. This Krishna consciousness movement can bring peace to the entire world. So we have to, how do we do it then? How can we be successful in spreading Krishna consciousness to awaken the fallen souls? Well, we have to begin with ourselves. There's a saying, charity begins at home. You see, if you're not charitable to your own family members, what's the question of being charitable to the world at large, you see? If you're like a miser at home with your family members, how you can be charitable to the world at large, you see? If you maintain a miserly consciousness within your own heart, how you can be charitable to anyone, you see? So our first business is to give up our own miserly tendencies of proprietorship, of overlordship, of being the enjoyer. That's the first thing. I just got a communication from one devotee who's been serving for many years as a brahmachari. Now he's feeling some difficulty. Wondering what to do. Should he get married? He's a little bewildered about what he should do now with his life. Should he leave the temple? He's bewildered. But the real thing is, I explained to him in this way. You see, the first step is to have faith in the process. First step, have faith in the process, Shraddha. The second step is sadhu sangha, associate with devotees. That's the second step. The third step is bhajana kriya. That's where you get initiated, you take up the process, you're chanting 16 rounds, you're following the principles, you're engaging devotional activities. You see, kriya means brewing. Bhajana means you're doing bhajana, you're doing bhakti activities. Now, if you don't move to the next step, which is anartita vritti, you'll actually burn out after a while. Because if you don't go to anartita vritti, which means getting rid of the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, if you don't go to the next stage, that means you're just acting in the mode of passion. You understand this point? You're simply acting in the mode of passion. And Krishna explains, the Vedic wisdom explains, that the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. So, that means in the beginning it seems really great. Wow. And then it goes, ugh. That's the mode of passion, you see. The beginning is, oh wow, this is great. Adibo. And then, ugh. You see. Turns to poison at the end, you see. So anartita vritti means you admit your faults. Yes, I'm lusty, I'm greedy, I'm lazy, I get all these bad qualities. Is that fun to do? No. It's not fun to admit you're a contaminated rascal, right? Would you enjoy admitting you're a contaminated? No, it's not fun. But even though it's poison in the beginning, becomes the sweetest nectar in the end. So that's called anartita vritti. That's the next step, you see. Then after you get through anartita vritti, then you achieve nishta. You're solidly fixed. You see. You never fall down, you see. So we've taken up the process. Now we have to embrace anartita vritti, admitting our faults, admitting our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, and our laziness, our craziness. We have to honestly see our faults and beg Krishna, beg Guru, beg the Vaishnavas to help us overcome these faults. You see, anartita vritti is a very, very important thing. You say, well, I'm pretty pure, you know, I don't really have any faults. Now, wait a minute. Why do you have a material body? If you say you're faultless, why do you have a material body? We have material bodies because we are envious of Krishna. These are prison uniforms. This material world is a prison. We're all inmates here in a prison. We are all envious of Krishna. We're all offenders here. We're all aparadis, offenders. So don't be guilty of pure devotee disease. Thinking, yes, I am pure devotee. I'm initiated. I have my Brahman's thread. You know, I chant rounds mostly every day sometimes. Almost every day I chant my rounds. So, you know, I'm really pure. Time to become sober. That the Muslim called a prayer. So now we have the Hare Krishna called a prayer. You see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I want you all now to embrace it. If you're not, I want you to all embrace this program of getting the dirt out of your hearts. Every one of you must admit you're a fallen soul. You're contaminated with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And now you have to take the medicine. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What I'm saying is confirmed by Krishna. That all of us here were born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities of desire and hate. Each one of us were guilty of these being deluded by desire and hate. Confirmed by Krishna, you see. So we have to be humble. Therefore, we should think ourselves lower than the star in the street. Be very tolerant. Be very respectful, you see. Develop these qualities. In this way, we become liberated from all the sufferings of material existence. Shishi garnitai ki jaya. So take this process very seriously. Don't be lazy, don't be crazy, don't be lusty, don't be angry. Give up all the bad qualities and seriously practice this with a peaceful mind, with determination, with enthusiasm, with patience. Take this process very seriously, and we guarantee you you'll taste the sweetest bliss at every minute within your heart. You'll get free of all anxieties. If you take this process very seriously, you come to a state of consciousness, there's never any more anxiety in your heart ever again. Become completely free from all anxieties. Let's see. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samaksaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktam Labhate Padam. You see, come to that transcendental platform. You're no longer disturbed by the dualities, the happiness, the distress. Prabhupada mentions them here. Let's see. Dualities, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. You see, they're totally caught up in these dualities. And we're still in that position. We're still being, even though we know better, still we're being disturbed because we're not very fixed up yet. We're still contaminated by these things, the nartas. So if we will be always in that mood of begging Krishna to free us from the nartas in our heart, begging for pure bhakti, Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna is not impersonal. Krishna suhridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna is your very best friend. He's sitting right there in your heart right now. He's your best friend. He's been traveling with you through millions and billions of lifetimes, waiting for you to come back to him. And now that you've taken this process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna is very happy you've done this. Now he wants to bring you all, you've come this far, now he wants to bring you all the way to pure bhakti. So don't go halfway. My dad used to say, son, do a job right or don't do it at all. Being a lazy, I said, well, dad, I don't think I'll do it at all. Being a lazy person. But actually, now that we've taken to this process of Krishna consciousness, let's do it right. Let's not do it halfway and have to take birth again in this material world. Let's do it right, you see. Let's embrace this process. Let us beg for pure bhakti. Let us work diligently to get rid of these contaminations in the heart. The fact is, we are all contaminated. Don't think otherwise. We are contaminated. Sorry to say, but actually I'm happy to tell you you're contaminated. If you go to the doctor's office and you're sick as a dog, and he says, oh, go home, you're not sick. What good is that doctor? The doctor has to point out your disease. You have this disease and you must take this treatment. So the spiritual master is the doctor. It's his duty to point out your disease. You see? It's your duty. You say, well, I don't like Guru Maharaj because he always tells me I'm in Maya. You want to be flattered? Oh yes, you're a Paramahamsa. Let me offer arati to you. Is that the kind of guru you want? Going to offer you arati? Sit you down in the Vyasasana and offer you, fan you with a chamra? Is that the kind of guru you want? Going to flatter you? Such a guru is useless. He's lagu. He's light, lightweight. Guru means heavy, heavy. Heavy with knowledge. Lagu means lightweight. You see? Guru means heavy. He has to smash you with his transcendental knowledge. You see? He has to smash your false pride and bring you to this position of begging that you can be engaged in pure devotional service, free from all the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy that is polluting your consciousness right now and keeping you caught up in a hellish, nightmarish condition of bodily misidentification. So there's some questions. I can try to answer them. I don't see any questions, all blank papers out there. This process works, but you have to work the process. You say, well, I've been doing Krishna consciousness for so many years, I don't feel any results. That means you're not doing Krishna consciousness. You're doing something else, your own pseudo-Krishna consciousness. If you're actually following this process, you will get the result. As Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. If you're really doing this process properly, you'll come to that point where Krishna reveal himself to you. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daivar hidayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achintya ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows in abodes built with spiritual gems. I worship Govishnu, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So Krishna is there, but we can't see him because our eyes are covered by lust, anger, greed, mad and illusion, and envy. If you become a pure devotee, you will see Krishna directly in front of you. You understand my point? You will directly experience Krishna when you achieve pure bhakti. You won't have to go to the temple. Of course you will. But you won't have to. You'll be even more eager to go to the temple. But you will see Krishna everywhere. That is pure bhakti. So here's some questions. Hare Krishna Maharaj, in 20,000 years will Srila Prabhupada still be remembered? Well, we can. You can take birth after birth and find out if you want. Prabhupada told us that there'll be a 10,000 year period in which Krishna consciousness will become predominant and it'll fade away. So that 10,000 year period began 500 years ago with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we expect that after 10,000 years, and actually after 9,500 years, the movement will be finished on this planet. It will be complete chaos. The Kali Yuga will be in full force. But for the next 4,500 years, we expect it to increase and come to the point where the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So we're actually at the beginning of the greatest paradigm shift in history right now. And how fast it happens is up to us. How fast we can kick out the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion from our hearts will translate into how fast the world will take Krishna consciousness. If we hold on to our own anarthas, the world will hold on to its anarthas too. But the more you manifest Krishna consciousness within, the more it becomes manifested without. That's a fact. Bahir nasinga, hridaye nasinga, nasinga within, nasinga without. The more you awaken Krishna consciousness within you, the more you are empowered to awaken the Krishna consciousness of those with whom you associate. So for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of the suffering souls of this world, we should work very hard to become pure devotees right now. Every day you said, Krishna, please bless me. Right now I can be your pure devotee. I said this in London and a boy said, I'm afraid to pray for pure devotion because I'm afraid that this will happen, that will happen. This is nonsense. I want to hold on to my impurities, thinking I'll be better off. He was actually thinking it's better to hold on to my impurities. If I fully surrender to Krishna, something may happen that I don't like. What kind of nonsense is that? I have to hold on to my impurities. Don't you trust Krishna? In America, the money says in God we trust. You see, so why we don't trust Krishna? If I fully surrender, he will take good care of me. If I fully surrender, he may abuse me? What kind of nonsense is this? I don't want to fully surrender, but Krishna may abuse me. What kind of garbage is this? You don't trust Krishna? We have to have faith in Krishna. If I fully surrender to him, he'll take perfect care of me. It's confirmed by Krishna himself in Gita. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Why we don't trust him? We think he's lying? What garbage is this? We think Krishna is some liar? Krishna is the supreme absolute truth personality of Godhead. When he says that he preserves what we have and we carry what we lack and we fully surrender to him, he will keep his word, I guarantee you. Krishna will not cheat you. Everybody else will cheat you. Krishna and the pure devotee, they will never cheat you. You see, but everybody else may cheat you. You've got to be careful in this world. Society of the cheaters and the cheated. You've got to look out. Always be on the lookout. This is the cheaters and the cheated. But Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee, they will never cheat you. You see, Because Krishna is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of all living entities, and his pure devotee is also Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, the best friend of all living entities. So let's see what the next question is. Give blood, give life. Is this statement material or spiritual? Well, it's pretty materialistic, actually. When do we go back to Godhead? Do we become male or female? Well, you'll find out. Actually, everyone psychologically is female in the spiritual world. Female means enjoyed, and male means enjoyer. So we all, in that sense, we're all females. We're all women here. We're all females. We don't have any males. Only Krishna is male. Everyone else is female. He's the enjoyer, and we are the enjoyed. But in terms of the physical bodies, you have gopas, you have gopis, you see. So you could have a gopi form, a gopa. You could be a male, you could be a bull or a cow also, that's male-female. Or you could be a male peacock or a peahen. See, all these things are there, so you may have, or you could be a rock. Not be a male or a female, you could be a rock in the spiritual world. Krishna takes his lunch on every day. Everything is animate there, and there are male and females. But here's the cool thing about it. You can be whatever you want to be. Everyone, if you want to change your rasa, you know, like let's say you're a gopi, but you're envious of the, you see the flute is getting more kisses than you are. And you can become a flute. As an example. You can be whatever you want to be in the spiritual world. However, actually, you have full freedom to be whatever you want to be in the spiritual world, in the pastimes of Krishna. But it's all in pure love of Krishna. It's not for sense gratification. That's the point. It is stated that Guru is as good as Krishna, so seeing Guru face to face is good as seeing Krishna face to face. But does seeing a Guru mean you're as good as a pure devotee? Well, if you fully surrender to the Guru, yes. You fully surrender to the spiritual master, you're as good as a pure devotee. You are a pure devotee. Krishna says, I am the gambling of cheats. What does that mean? That means that you go to Las Vegas, or you have some gambling casinos here in Mauritius too. Well, Krishna is present there in the form of gambling, but don't go there. Don't you go there. How to become a pure devotee? Well, you have to become a sold-out servant of the bona fide spiritual master, accepting his orders, your very life and soul, in all times, places, and circumstances, always thinking, speaking, and acting in a way that is fully pleasing to your spiritual master. And that way you'll become a pure devotee, Shishi Gornitai Kijai. Prabhupada Leelas are all transcendental. However, which part of his Leelas have you relished the most? Well, when he accepted one boy named Steve as Sankarshan Das, that's my favorite pastime of Prabhupada. I got a letter from London. AC, I have the letter, the original letter. Letter from London. He said, your beads, I've chanted on your beads, they're coming by separate post. Got my letter from Prabhupada. Except that's my favorite pastime of Prabhupada. Accepted me as a disciple. Okay. Does Lord Chaitanya wear a peacock feather? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Can check on that. Vyasadeva has compiled all the Puranas and Vedas, and Ganesh Puranas, Ganesh is the greatest, and Shiva is the greatest, and Bhagavad Purana, Krishna is the greatest. And the Vedas, was Vedas knew, has now stated directly from Krishna. To facilitate those persons who are in lower modes of nature, the other Puranas do present those personalities as supreme. I'll give you an example in this connection. Just like when you're studying arithmetic in school in the beginning, you know, 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 1 equals 3, 1 minus 1 equals 0. But what if you say 1 minus 2? They say, teacher, you cannot do that. You can't subtract a number that's the number being subtracted cannot be larger than the number you're subtracting from. That's how you'll first be taught in math, you see. But when you get a little higher, they will teach you about negative numbers. So that rule applied at a certain level. You go to a higher level, you understand actually you can subtract a number, a number that is larger than the number you're subtracting from. 1 minus 2, you see, what is that? Minus 1 minus 2 is minus 1. Yeah, so you can at a certain level. So the Vedas are the same way. For persons who are on the level of material desires, they are given that instruction for beginners. For those who come to a higher level, who understand what is the purpose of all the Vedas and all the Puranas, understand that that was simply meant to help those poor souls at least get fixed on some level. That's all. Until they can come to a higher level. We know that we are not this body, that everything here is temporary, and that at the end of the day, everything will come to an end. But still, sometimes when someone close to me departs this world, tears flow automatically despite we don't want to and despite we know we are a spirit. Why is this so? You want to answer some questions too? Okay. It's natural to feel some sentiment upon the departure of a Vaishnava. Even though you know they didn't really die, they're going to a place now where in your present state you can't see them anymore. Prabhupada said it's the duty of the disciple to cry when his spiritual master leaves the world. So that sentiment of feeling of a Vaishnava departing and crying is a beautiful sentiment, feeling separation from the Vaishnavas. Nothing wrong with that sentiment. It doesn't mean they're dead. It just means they're not here to associate with anymore. Do these dualities exist in the heavenly planets? Oh, yes. The heavenly planets also have the dualities. Sometimes the demons attack the heavenly planets. And the demigods are in great trouble because the demons have taken over their kingdom. It happens. The dualities are there in the heavenly planets, too. Okay. Well, Bishan Sobarun. There's no, just a name, no name, no question. Just a name. Oh, that's the bookmark.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything is animate in the spiritual sky. Then food is also animate. And how can we eat animate devotees? It's an interesting question. The apple is also a living entity. What happens? You eat the apple in the spiritual world. Well, I'd go there and you'll find out. Most people of Muslim faith have full trust in God, but they still involve in animal killing. How do we reconcile this faith in God? I mean, I grew up as a Christian. They're all meat eaters. Thing is, the Muslims, the Christians, Hindus also guilty of the same thing. Maybe not as gross, but they approach God as the order supplier. All of them, Hindus, Christians, Jews, everyone, Muslims, they're all saying, God, give me this, give me, give me, give me. They approach God with material desires. They're all contaminated. So that is not God consciousness. That is not love of God. That's love of material things. When you come to the position of love of God, then naturally you become nonviolent. So we're teaching that. Most people, okay, got that one. Is there any significant difference between Lord Vishnu and Krishna? Sure. A lot of differences. Flute, two arms, four arms, so many differences. Pastimes, there's a tremendous difference between Vishnu and Krishna. How can I develop a taste to read Prabhupada's books? By reading them regularly. Discipline yourself that every day I will read for a half an hour. By that discipline you will develop taste. Is some anartha not necessary to survive in the Kali Yuga? Well, you can give up all of our anarthas. None of them are required. You can give them all up. We don't need lust. We don't need anger. We don't need madness, illusion, envy, laziness, or craziness. We can give up all these anarthas and have no problem. How can we conquer lust? By developing love, you see. Love is more powerful than lust. Lust means I want to exploit you and enjoy you for my pleasure. But instead of trying to exploit others for my pleasure, let me give service to Krishna, the source of all living beings. And that way I can give service to everyone. So when you actually take up the mood of love, of giving service, instead of trying to take enjoyment, you will relish an enjoyment which is thousands of times greater than any so-called enjoyment you had when you were lusty. So lust is happiness in the mode of passion. There's some little titillation of pleasure there, but it becomes like poison. You see? So instead of trying to enjoy a lusty pleasure, which turns to poison, take out the pleasure of Krishna bhakti, even though it's a little austere in the beginning. I'm not used to rising early. I'm not used to giving up cigarettes. I'm not used to ever chanting on mala every day. Take the austerities of the discipline. And you'll experience a tremendous awakening of ecstasy within your heart. Is Durga Devi Yogamaya? She's not Yogamaya, is she? Yogamaya and Durga are different. Huh? Different. Yeah. Is there any specific reason why devotee, we are not allowed to pick the tulsi leaves on Dvadasi? Yeah, the scriptures, shastras. What are the qualities of King Parikshit? He's a great Kshatriya king. They have all their qualities are described very nicely in Bhagavad Gita. Huh? Yeah, Bhagavad Gita also, the qualities of Brahman's qualities, Vaishya's, Kshatriya's qualities. Yeah, but the qualities of a Kshatriya are described in Bhagavad Gita also. There's a whole verse about the Kshatriya's qualities. So he's described in Bhagavatam and his qualities are mentioned in Gita generically.
That is
Kshatriya. Huh? He's a pure devotee. It means he has 26 qualities also. So yeah, their qualities are very nicely described. As a devotee, do we need to believe in Vedic astrology? Prabhupada said astrology is for fools and rascals. Actually, there in the Vedabase, the quote's right there in the Vedabase. I personally don't mess around with astrologers because I don't trust them, first of all. Astrologers are not very expert anymore. They used to be very expert, they're not. The science has been lost. Astrologers are not expert, I can't trust their readings. And even then, it's not necessary. Because what does astrology mean? It means under the influence of the stars, right? What does the stars mean? The demigods. It means under the influence of the controlling deities of each star. That's what it actually means. Now, when you surrender to Krishna, are you still under the influence of the demigods? Are you directly now under Krishna's energy? A materialist is still under the influence of the star. When you surrender to Krishna, you're no longer under the influence of the stars. You're now under a higher influence, Krishna, directly, you see. So even if astrologically you were meant to die, you know, at a certain time, by Krishna's arrangement, you may live for 30 more years. You understand my point? So the astrologers, even if they give you an accurate reading, which is doubtful, according to the stars, Krishna is beyond the stars. So my philosophy, just put my trust in Krishna. Just like when I got married, we didn't consult any astrologer. I said, well, the girl's Krishna conscious, jai. That's all finished. And it was a good decision, you see. I made a good decision by agreeing to this marriage because I didn't depend on any astrologer. The girl's Krishna conscious, that's all I need to know, you see. So really, that's what it boils down to, Krishna consciousness, not astrologers. What about Vastu? Should we follow Vashti when building a temple? Well, you can if you like. Although I don't remember, did Prabhupada ever tell us to do it? I don't know of them. You can do that if you like. I know we just got a temple in Austin. It's already built, so there's no question of Vashti. If you want to use Vashti, you can do that. But do what's practical also. Huh? Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Now, Vastu can be done, but it's not a Prabhupada. I don't know that Prabhupada used Vastu. I never heard that he used. I know in Vrindavan, it was built according to the buildings around it, what matches the street, you know. And so that the local Brahmins would consider our temple to be bona fide. We had the local Brahmins come and do all these mantras and everything. Prabhupada said it wasn't really necessary. All we had to do was have kirtan. We don't need all these Brahmins chanting all these mantras. But Prabhupada did that just so the local people would accept it. But actually it wasn't necessary. So you can consider that also here in this country. We have a lot of Hindus. To give it legitimacy in the eyes of the public, you may do something like that, but it's not really required. All we need is chanted. Hare Krishna Kirtan does everything. Any other questions? Everybody is satisfied now? Are you ready to embrace pure bhakti? Are you ready to kick out your nartas? Get rid of the lust, get rid of the anger, get rid of the greed, get rid of the madness, get rid of the illusion, get rid of the envy, get rid of the laziness and cranish. Ready to kick it all out now with boot? Kick it out with boot. Are you ready? You ready? Yes or no? Huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't sound very enthusiastic. Are you ready? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's a little better. You have to be enthusiastic if you want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. If you're not enthusiastic about bhakti, you'll be enthusiastic about sense gratification. You have to be enthusiastic about something. So you better become enthusiastic about awakening pure love of God within your heart. Prabhupada very much appreciates enthusiasm, even though I'm not that enthusiastic. I showed a little enthusiasm when I sent my Guru Dakshina in by letter after getting initiated. Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, "I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement." He said, "Now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you." So I just want to tell you all this point. If you will show some enthusiasm for being Krishna conscious and spreading it, Prabhupada will see your enthusiasm, Krishna will see your enthusiasm, and they will both bless you. You see? Now continue enthusiastically as you are doing. So that's by being enthusiastic for chanting, enthusiastic for serving, enthusiastic for hearing, enthusiastic for preaching, by being this utsahan, this enthusiasm, you see. Krishna will bless you, you see. Guaranteed by Prabhupada. Krishna will bless you. So you all must be very enthusiastic to chant, enthusiastic to offer obeisances, enthusiastic to render service, enthusiastic to take initiation if you're not initiated, enthusiastic to serve your Guru Maharaj if you are initiated. You must all be very enthusiastic, not like, We all have a tendency sometimes. I've had a trouble myself, not enough sleep a few nights. A little hard. But the thing is, we have to work to overcome this tamasic mentality, you see. That we sometimes are afflicted with. To work hard to overcome that enthusiasm. Okay, so we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very much for hearing Bhagavad Gita teachings. Now you take these teachings very, very seriously. Make your lives perfect and go back to home, back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.